everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Student Loan Planner Podcast. My name is James Wombella, a senior consultant with Student Loan Planner. It's been a minute since I've been on the pod, so I had to make a comeback. Today we're covering the 40 ways to pay off your student loans better. This is a two-part episode. We're going to cover 20 of the tips today and the remaining 20 next week. Today I'm joined by three colleagues who you may or may not have met yet. They're going to help me lay out all these tips. Before we get started, let's get to know them, starting with Becca.
Hi, I'm Becca Baldoff. I'm from Buffalo. I've been with Student Loan
Go
Planner.
Bills.
Go Bills! I've been with Student Loan Planner since July of 2023, and I'm really excited to get the tax business launched in early 2024.
Tax business has been something that a lot of clients have wanted us to help with, and so now excited to say we've got that, and Becca's off to a great start getting that off the ground.
Thanks, James.
Then we've got Jake.
Yeah, I'm Jake Courtney. I'm from Dayton, Ohio. I joined a Student Loan Planner in August of 2023, and I am extremely excited to help other student loan borrowers, because I'm a student loan borrower myself, save a lot of money on their student loan repayment journey. So we've already made a huge impact just in student loan consultations in the past 3 months, so I'm really excited to continue that growth.
Fun fact, Jake, one of the few consultants who actually still has student loans himself.
Yeah.
So bringing that understanding to the table.
Yep.
Last but not least, we've got Sam.
Hey, I'm Sam Silberstein. I have been with Student Loan Planner since July 2023. I'm based out of Philadelphia, and I love that every day I get to help our clients navigate the complexity of student loan debt, but also building towards long-term financial wellness goals.
Yeah, I would have said go birds, but being from D.C., I can't root for Philly sports, so we're gonna let that one ride. So I'm going to get started by sharing a few tips that are high-level repayment strategies, and then the rest of the team here is going to dive down into more specific areas. So let's start with the first five tips. So number one is one that you all have heard a lot for many types of debt, is to sign up for autopay. You probably know that you get a 0.25% interest rate reduction by paying your federal student loans on autopay. Now, I will add to this, don't do it if your student loan servicer has you on the wrong payment. So everyone to my left can attest to the mistakes we've seen. The rollout and getting loans back on repayment has been a hot mess. Servicers are miscalculating payments all over the place, right? Too high, 10-year standard payment, payment based on the wrong income. Sometimes people are getting $0 payments when they should owe. And so every now and then it works out in your favor. But needless to say, if your servicer is telling you you owe an amount that you know is way higher than you actually owe, don't sign up for autopay yet. Get that corrected. We've got all kinds of resources to help you do that. And then sign up for autopay. The next tip is to make biweekly payments. Why? Well, because your interest accrues daily, if you take your same monthly payment and just split it in half and pay that amount twice in that month, you will limit the amount of interest that's accruing on a daily basis, and it will help you pay that loan off faster. One thing you'll notice is that these tips, you're going to have some tips for people who are trying to pay off your loans, and then the rest of the tips are going to apply to those of you who are going for forgiveness, right? All of you are either in one boat or the other. So signing up for autopay, getting that interest rate reduction, making the biweekly payments, that is most relevant to those of y'all who are obviously paying off your loans and wanting to cut down on the interest. If you're going for forgiveness, the interest doesn't matter, of course, right? And I think we were able to figure out that if you make biweekly payments, that's one more payment.
One extra payment per year.
Per year, right?
Because yes, we agree. One.
Yep.
One. We did the math. Instead of one payment a month, 12 payments, you'll end up with 13 payments.
Right. Yes, the equivalent of 13 monthly payments.
Yes, half of the 26 biweekly periods for the year. The next tip is to refinance your student loans. And I'll be honest, this is one that these days is not going to be very helpful because interest rates are much higher. So if you think about everything that you're giving up, the federal protections, the forbearance, the income-driven repayment, the death and disability discharge, it's not worth it to give those up if you're going to end up paying the same interest rate anyway. So this is one that could be a good tip in the future. Right now, just not very helpful.
But, you know, if you already have private loans too, it doesn't always hurt to check if you should refinance for a better rate. Get your funds.
Absolutely. Good point. The next tip, number four, is to use the debt avalanche method. Again, for those of you who are paying off your loans, mathematically, the way to minimize your costs out of pocket and minimize your interest specifically is to use the debt avalanche method. Put all the extra money you have towards the highest interest debt. So you make the minimum payments to everything else, put all your extra money towards the higher interest debt, and then that'll limit your out-of-pocket costs.
And to add to that, unless you've consolidated your loans, each semester or each year should have an individual loan that has an interest rate based off of the time that you went to school. That gives you an opportunity to really attack those high interest rate loans individually instead of, you know, just generally blanket payments, I guess, over time.
Yes, that's a great point, Jake. We're talking to a lot of clients about the benefits of consolidation. It's important to realize that, yeah, if you are planning to pay off your debt, consolidating may not make the most sense, right, even if it may look better to see one balance. And of course, if that will help you sleep better at night, fine. But we're just telling you, based on the numbers, if you want to save the most amount of interest in paying off your loans, better to attack the highest interest debt. And then the last tip for me to share, number five, is to make payments while in school. So why would you do this? Number one, you can cut down on the interest that's accruing while you're in school. If you're going for forgiveness, you can actually get more credit towards forgiveness by starting to make payments while you're in school and get on an income-driven plan like the SAVE plan. You're probably not making any income while you're in grad school. So guess what your payment's going to be? $0.
Yep.
How about $3.99? That's your monthly payment. So why not take advantage of that? Now, as a caveat, you can only do this on grad plus loans. So your grad plus loans, you're able to request that they get taken off in-school deferment, get into repayment, get in your income-driven plan. And then once you graduate, you can consolidate all your loans. Using the weighted average method, you'll get approximately 1 year of credit towards forgiveness, which just gives you a head start. That'll conclude the tips for me to share. So now we're going to transition to Becca. And Becca's going to talk about some tips that'll help those of you with different types of student loans and also different strategies, paying it off versus going for forgiveness. She has a mix of tips for people in all kinds of different situations.
Yeah.
Take it away, Becca.
Yeah, so number six, we know that all of our clients don't necessarily have only federal student loans. They have private student loans too. And if they do have a mix of private loans and federal loans, we really want them to focus on the private loans first because they have more control over what their federal student loan payment will be with their taxes. So definitely if you have private and federal student loans, focus on those private student loans first. And then as far as the federal, I will transition right into the federal student loans with tip number seven, which is enroll in an income-driven repayment option, or also known as an IDR, not to be confused with IBR, which is a type of income-driven repayment.
And so along that note, Becca, we meet with some people who have private loans and federal loans, right? And a lot of them are thinking about cash flow. They know they have to pay off the private loans. There's no forgiveness there, right? So can you tell us more when it comes to your tips that will help people preserve more cash flow to throw at the private loans that they know they have to pay off anyway, if they have both private and federal?
Yeah, so as far as preserving their cash flow, especially for like number eight, so we have Parent Plus loans. We definitely want to make sure that Parent Plus borrowers are looking into what's called the double consolidation loophole, because those will give them access to those non-income contingent repayment, which is also another type of IDR, income-driven repayment.
A lot of acronyms.
Yes, a lot of acronyms, a lot of synonyms, just to, you know, make this very confusing topic just more confounding.
Like alphabet soup.
Yes, exactly. And they want to look into that double consolidation loophole before July of 2025.
Time relevant.
Yeah, because it is, time's running out.
Legal loophole that's going away.
Yep, for sure. And to, you know, remain eligible on those income-driven repayments, it's super important that, you know, number nine is make sure that you're recertifying your income on an annual basis. James, you mentioned, you know, the cash flow piece of it. That's how you do it, is really managing that adjusted gross income on your tax return, which, you know, leads me to number 10, as far as taxes go, claiming the student loan interest deduction.
That's coming back, folks.
It is.
Student loan interest.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
It's here currently.
It was gone. It came back. Yeah. It is important to know there are some phase outs associated with that and the income too. So you want to make sure that you're managing that adjusted gross income so that you can qualify for that. You're getting the best possible income driven repayment amount on a monthly basis and keeping track of that year to year and setting yourself up for the best possible position.
And what are those phase outs to put you on the spot here?
Oh,
approximately,
man.
Approximately.
It's like, I think it's like 75,000.
Yeah, for individual. Yeah. It's like 120 or 130,000
for
married couples.
Filing jointly, yeah.
If you make more than that, you're not getting the student loan tax deduction.
And if you're married filing separately, you forfeit it. But you may be able to get the cash flow in your payment amount. It might be worth it. So.
Yeah. All right, great. Well, thanks, Becca. Now we're going to transition to Jake. So up to now, we've been telling you, here's some things you want to make sure you're doing. Jake is going to talk about several things that you're going to want to avoid when dealing with your student loans.
Yeah, so my first tip would be to avoid forbearance. Forbearance can be a good option if you truly need it, but you should try to avoid it. Number one, if you're pursuing forgiveness, because it won't typically count towards that forgiveness timeline. And two, even if you're not pursuing forgiveness, under forbearance, interest will accrue in your student loan balance. And so if you're attempting to pay it off over time, maybe forgiveness isn't an option for you, then maybe, you know, switching into an income-driven repayment plan might be the best option for you to keep your payment as low as possible or even $0. So it really doesn't make a lot of sense to be in forbearance. Now, at the same time, you know, a lot of people right now are getting put into administrative forbearance. That's automatic. You don't really have a control over that most of the times, especially if you're in a consolidation. So obviously, there's nothing really you can do about that. But, you know, in general, avoiding forbearance is typically a good way to go to continue. And
one thing I'll mention is there's also this ramp-up period going on right now, right? So for those of you who cannot afford your payment right now, you need to get your ducks in a row. Maybe you thought Uncle Joe was going to extend it again, and they said surprise, we're not. And so you really just weren't ready to actually enter repayment right now. They're doing a ramp-up period where for 12 months, if you don't make a payment, you will get put on administrative forbearance, right?
Yep.
And you won't get some of the bad outcomes that come from actually getting... Your loans won't go into default, at least. And so, but that's only for 12 months. So after that, the typical advice will come back of avoid forbearance at all costs.
100%, yep. My next tip would be to avoid default. We mentioned income-driven repayment plans. If you can't afford your payment based off of, you know, a low income or no income, going into default is possibly the worst possible thing you could do. And the reason why is that it can lead to wage garnishment. I mean, there's no worse lender to be in default with than the federal government because they can garnish your wages.
They know where you live.
They know when, and they know how you're getting paid, and they will come for it.
Or garnish your tax refund, yep. You know. And it will lead to a bad credit score.
Even
it impacts your credit score.
Take away some benefits, even like Social Security, they can limit it.
Yep. So, that's one lender you don't want to be in debt to. All right, not in debt to, but in default with. So apply for an income-driven repayment plan most of the time. Instead of going into default status, which usually happens after 270 days of no payment after the on-ramp period. So after September 30th of 2024, right? So my next tip is to pay off capitalized interest if you're going to pay off your loans anyway, right? So that interest can accrue into your principal balance if you take certain actions. For example, if you consolidate your loans, if that's the right action to take at that point, the interest will accrue into your balance, and thus future interest will be based off of a much larger multiplier, I guess you could say.
Much larger balance. Paying interest on interest.
Yeah, paying interest on interest at that time. And so, you know, if your goal is to just pay off your loans over time anyway, maybe you're not a good candidate for forgiveness because your income's too high, you probably want to focus on tackling that accrued interest into your balance over time, especially before you take any major actions that will capitalize that interest. My second to last tip would be to update your taxes to married filing separately. And I'll let Becca chime in a little bit here because she's our resident tax expert. But when you file your taxes jointly and you're in an income-driven repayment plan, it will include your spouse's income in that payment calculation. And so, especially if your spouse is making a lot of money.
Or, and they don't have student loans too.
And they don't have student loans. And that's a separate conversation, but you know, that will impact your student loans. So if you file taxes separately to exclude your spouse's income from your payment. And oftentimes that can actually lead to a much lower payment, especially over a forgiveness timeline there. So
I think you said it perfectly, Jake. I think you should hit us with number 15.
Sure. Yeah, so my last tip is to avoid student loan scams. You know, we always talk about like this period in the student loan world in terms of history of student loans is one of the most advantageous periods to offer student loan scams, because everyone is freaking out about these, not everyone, but a lot of people are freaking out about their student loan payments.
It's a good amount
of people. Wondering, how can I afford this? What's the best approach? And luckily we have Student Loan Planner to help them out in an objective way. So we don't really have a lot of skin in the game in terms of where we lead you at that point. But there are a ton of scams right now. So if you ever hear any Biden student loan forgiveness programs or something like that, there is no forgiveness program called the Biden student loan forgiveness program, by
the
way.
At this point, that we know of.
Maybe we're, predicting the future.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But they're everywhere, and you just, I guess overall, never give someone your credentials to log into any of your student loan servicer accounts or student loan or the studentaid.gov website. If they're logging in on your behalf, that's usually never a good sign, and that's actually illegal in most cases. So
it's a shame. No matter what big events are happening in the world, there will always be some scams to accompany, right?
Yeah. Man.
Praying on the confused.
Yeah. It's a shame that we have to mention that, but because they exist, we have to. So thanks a lot, Jake. Jake is one of our newer consultants, but you can see he definitely knows his stuff. So great job. So now next we're going to transition to Sam, who's going to talk about some more outside the box solutions to your student loans.
Yeah, no, I'm excited to talk about it, especially tip number 16, which I actually have a little bit of personal experience with, is, you know, looking into using employer repayment assistance programs. Just general student loan repayment as an employee benefit is more commonplace today than it has been in the last 10 years. This could be for people who are on both the forgiveness path and the pay it off path, right? It could help take care of some minimums. And then even if they don't necessarily have a repayment program, right, where they go ahead and send payments out on behalf of you to your servicer, maybe they have some type of reimbursement or fund allocation. If they don't have anything, right, that's something you as an employee could vocalize for future benefits. As, like I said, this is more commonplace. And I feel like we are in a world where I feel like employees have a lot more say about the wellness in the workplace.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm.
Number 17, right, is going to be paying during the grace period. And we're going to talk about this one. So this is going to be definitely more if your plan is to pay off your loans, right, potentially before any type of forgiveness would have been reached. This can be a way to kind of make it more cost effective over time, right? You generally, when you graduate, you have about 6 months of a period where you don't necessarily have to pay, where you're supposed to really be getting your mind right to pay. But interest does still accrue during that time. And so if you can, right, or you're trying to make payments and can afford it, that is a good time to start, you know, don't have to put, you know, 100 on the pedal, but start to get in the flow of things and help minimize that accrual over time.
And if you consolidate your loans right after graduating during the grace period, you can enter repayment, right? And you can pick an income-driven plan. And for those of you who just graduated, you got a big job, you're making big money, your last tax return on file, you may not have made anything because you were in school, right? And then so you can lock in 12 months worth of payments on your prior tax return with zero income, which equates to $0 payment, right?
Yeah.
We're back to free 99.
Yeah. Yeah, the only way to actually get out of grace period, right, is to consolidate. But that does put you in repayment. But like Jim said, even if you're on the forgiveness path and you're trying to be on an income-driven repayment plan, that can be still cost-effective. Number 18, invest in a student loan planner. You know, what a coincidence. We're a student loan planner.
Yeah.
We are
not biased at all,
by
the way.
This is not a plug at all. No, but I, you know, it's literally our J job, right, to help build customizable plans where people are navigating the own unique circumstances of their student loan journey, but balancing that with their own personal priorities and kind of what's going on with their career. Because there's, I feel like you guys can agree, when we meet with someone, sometimes we have a short-term plan and a long-term plan, right? It's not like straight, they're doing the same plan for the same thing over the next 10, 15 years.
Right. Yeah, it's so tough. I feel like even just in this conversation, we're all like, trying to keep ourselves from going into the nuance and, but not this, but what if somebody has this? Because it is so different for everybody. And it's so important to have a plan that is specific to their situation, when they borrowed their loans and all of that.
Yeah. And oftentimes you have to realize that just like the borrowers of these student loans, they're specialists in certain fields. A lot of times it's physicians that are specialists in certain fields. We spend the majority of our workday knowing and researching student loan rules and differences. And we've got an ear to the ground when it comes to servicers and the different patterns we see. So, I mean, this is a true investment to get advice from true experts when it comes to
For sure. And, you know, kind of continuing on with a little bit of these themes, right, is, you know, paying more than the minimum. So this one, this we can't really go down into the nuances of this one specifically, but if you are in that pay it off path, not forgiveness, it is going to be advantageous over time. If you can find a way to build a plan towards tackling more than the minimum, I always thought about when I was on the pay it off path for my student loans, and I always thought I was just sticking it to the man. Even if I did it at least $1, I could have been like living paycheck to paycheck, but I wanted to do $1 more. And so whether you make it a game yourself like me, because you're into that kind of stuff, double your payment, 20-30%. And there's different strategies that James touched on, right? Snow avalanche versus snow debt. Snowball. I don't know. I said tsunami earlier, so who knows at this point what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
Well, that's fun.
Like a mix of,
I've coined it. It's like a mix of the two.
Find a way to help chip away at that interest and eventually hopefully knock down a little bit more of that principal, right? And then finally, this last one is to end on here is like go back to school potentially, right? Not kind of counterintuitive, like, you know, I'm talking about limiting
go
the
back
school
to school.
Especially in our field, there's a couple of reasons why we would tell someone to go back to school. Yeah. But the one we're going to stick with today is like, hey, if you hit your career and you're struggling to kind of go up that ladder or pay these loans off because of like the lack of salary increases, there you go back, potentially going back to school to find a career you're going to find more fulfillment for. It's going to be easier to work a job that's going to help you pay these student loans off. But also potentially maybe something like PSLF, like public service loan forgiveness, could be become an option, right? Going into more nonprofit work. So kind of going in a whole different direction with maybe a second career gives you more fulfillment, but also a way to tackle your loans.
Yeah. And if we see the history of the income-driven repayment plans, they've only gotten better and better and better. And so is it likely that 10 years from now, there's even a better repayment plan than SAVE? It could be likely at this trajectory.
The safest.
Yeah. So, it's not like
you're Resave.
Yeah. Resave.
Yes. Resave. Save 2.0 or something.
Repay. I know. So, a little bit of inside baseball. Sorry. We're nerding out here.
Or just the saved.
I can keep going at this point. So I'm going to head it back to James here. Yeah.
Very well said, Sam. And thank you to the rest of you. You've been a great, great panel here. And so to close out, one thing I do want to mention is these 40 tips to paying off your student loans better, 20 of which we covered today. This is kind of a classic student loan planner list of tips that we have that originally started as a blog post. And we are going to be updating that blog post, and we'll have a link to that in the description, because we will need to update some of these tips and just give you some more recent context. Like, for instance, the tip to refinance. Just right now, the way interest rates are looking, probably don't want to refinance. So we'll share those sort of context in the blog that we're going to share in the description. Because even though that is a sort of classic tip to consider, it's just not right now. It's something you probably don't want to do. So be sure to tune in next week to finish out the remaining 10 tips. And also check out that blog to get that additional context about what's going on today. And so thanks to our team for sharing everything. And be sure to follow our email newsletter, social media, and YouTube. Take care, everyone.